In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and truly repent of them. And I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you who heartily repent of your sins, believe on Jesus Christ, and sincerely and earnestly purpose by the assistance of God the Holy Ghost henceforth to amend your sinful lives. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The introit on your blue sheet. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. For he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. At the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth. For he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we, who for our evil deeds are continually afflicted, may mercifully be relieved by the passion of thine only begotten Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for Holy Wednesday is from the 62nd and 63rd chapters of Isaiah. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forgotten. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Here ends the reading. The gradual. We stand. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time is come to favor her, yet the set time is come. The Holy Gospel according to the Passion of St. Luke, the 22nd and 23rd chapters. Glory be to thee, O Lord. You may be seated. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them, and they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large, furnished upper room. There make ready. So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny 3 times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So they said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, "Lord, look, here are 2 swords. And he said to them, "It is enough." Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that ye may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, which is the one who struck you? And many other things they blasphemy spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into the council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? So he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Then Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? He answered him and said, it is as you say. So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him. And he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested, and he released to them the one they requested, who, for rebellion and murder, had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore and breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breast and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Hymn 116 in the Blue Book.
Smitten and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. This is Christ, my man rejected. Hear my soul, your Savior, see. He's the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it. He's the true and faithful word. Tell me all who hear
him groaning. Was there ever grief like this? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would intervene to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here make you its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. It's the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have the firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation, is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope hath built. The sermon text is from Luke 23. You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There were two religious trials under the auspices of the Sanhedrin, which the high priest Caiaphas oversaw. The first is called the night trial. It happened that very night, immediately after they arrested Jesus in the garden. St. Luke, today's gospel, does not speak of that first trial in which Jesus was condemned to die. He only records the mockery which happened at the end of that night trial. But beginning with Luke 22, verse 66, Luke records the second religious trial called the morning trial. It says, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into the council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. You see, according to Jewish law, when someone was to be put to death, there needed to be a second session which confirmed the decision of the first, and there needed to be at least a day between the two trials. Now, the illegality of practically every action of the Sanhedrin is astounding. The first trial is illegal because it was held at night. The second trial, held in the morning, was illegal because a day had not yet passed. Nevertheless, they were in a rush to get Jesus condemned. They arrested Jesus while the city was still sleeping, and now they sought to get him hanging on a cross before the general populace would know what had happened. They even went to the trouble of having a second trial to show their overzealousness attempt to legitimize their actions. Now in the first trial, Caiaphas commanded Jesus, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And based upon Jesus' affirmative answer, he is condemned to death for blasphemy. So now here in the second trial, Caiaphas says, if you are the Christ, tell us. Jesus answers again in the affirmative. Without the need of witnesses, the Sanhedrin reaffirms their decision. Now, might I mention in passing that the Sanhedrin was not anti-Trinitarian. They do not balk at the existence of a man being the promised Christ, nor do they object that the Christ is also to be the Son of God. Jesus is not condemned or even ridiculed for these, quote, foolish ideas. They condemn him for claiming to be that one. Now here's where things get particularly interesting. Luke 23, verse 1 tells us that the whole Sanhedrin led Jesus away to Pilate at that early morning hour. The Sanhedrin does not want Pilate to hold a trial. They simply want him to condemn Jesus to death based on their verdict, which they have already reached. And they claim that Jesus was determined to be guilty on three things. First, they say that he was perverting the nation. By that, they mean rebellion. The second was forbidding to pay taxes. And the third was saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Now, none of these charges were even brought up in the religious trials. Only that he was the Christ, the Son of God, which they considered to be blasphemy. Well, Pilate rejects their request to bypass a trial, and he begins his inquiry of Jesus. The first two charges, easily dismissed. As regards the third, Jesus did admit to Pilate that he was a king. However, according to St. John's Gospel, we see that Jesus explained to Pilate just what kind of king he was, and in the end, Pilate came to the conclusion that, well, Jesus is a religious king, the king of the Jews. But most importantly, Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Jesus is not guilty of any crime, much less any crime deserving of death. And it is at that point that the secular trial should have ended with Pilate dismissing the case. The prisoner should have been released. Considering the bloodthirsty Sanhedrin that gathered that morning, Pilate should have, well, ordered this fanatical mob to disperse, and if need be, sent his soldiers in to enforce it. He should have provided protection for Jesus. But everything which happened after Pilate's declaration of innocence is simply a weak leader asking for permission to acquit. In fact, it's worse than that. It is a kind of negotiation between Pilate and the Sanhedrin. Oh, would it be okay if I released him? No. He's exciting the people. Well, I'm going to send him to Herod. But you already made a verdict. It's too late to transfer the case. The high priest vehemently accused Jesus before Herod, but he will have nothing to do with any kind of legal decision, and Herod determines Jesus is harmless, dresses him in a shiny garment of innocence, and sends him back to Pilate. Now, neither Herod nor I think that Jesus should die. Would it be okay if I release him? Pilate says. No. Well, what if I beat him, bloody him up, and then release him? No. Well, how about if I release him instead of Barabbas? No. The Sanhedrin simply hold on until they get their way from a weak and timid governor. Let him be crucified. Luke 23, but they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. You might remember that the devil is described in Revelation 12:10 as the accuser of our brethren, who accuse them before our God day and night. And in 1 Peter 5, we will learn that the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In the book of Job, we learn that Job was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Nevertheless, Satan accuses Job, tells God, "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." It was not true. Believing Job did not curse God. And in this, Job did not sin with his lips. Well, we have a heavenly governor. We have a God who created heaven and earth and rules over it. He made an inquiry into our sin. He came into the Garden of Eden to see what they had done. The declaration of guilt was justly made against Adam and Eve. God declared, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Nevertheless, another judicial decision was made as well. The Christ, the Son of God, would come. "He shall bruise your head, and you shall strike his heel." And by this second announcement, the first declaration of death was undone. Jesus would crush the head of the serpent and defeat the curse of death. You, my Christian friends, have come to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in God's Son, you have been justified. That is, you have been declared righteous because of Jesus. He was justly condemned by Caiaphas. He was unjustly condemned by Caiaphas and Pilate. However, he did bear our guilt, the guilt of our sin, and that punishment was our just punishment. Isaiah 53. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The innocent Lamb of God has secured our pardon. Now, the devil thinks that he can wear down that just judge of all the earth through his continual cries of guilty, but he will accomplish nothing. Although the execution of God's day of judgment is delayed, do not mistake that for weakness. Our heavenly judge will, concerning the living and the dead, he will prevail. Satan and his evil angels will be thrown into the lake of fire. Romans 2, verse 15, speaks about the work of the law upon us. It says that even the Gentiles show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. However, once the law has been done, its work has been done, the gospel has the final say. Your sins are forgiven. Do not let the continual cries of the law wear you down so that you doubt. God has declared you innocent. He has said, "I find nothing in this child of God deserving of death." And our triune God has released us from the law's demands. Hebrews 2. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their life subject to bondage." And then Revelation 12 says, "The accuser of our brethren has been cast down." Unlike Pilate, who delivered Jesus to their will, we know that God's will is done for us, and he will never capitulate to any evil action. Just as certainly as the centurion declared, "Certainly this man was a righteous man," so we who have believed in Jesus will be declared on the last day. Until then, following our Savior, we commend our spirit into the hands of our Heavenly Father. This just judge will declare us forgiven and innocent. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The offertory is on page 18. We stand.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, we adore thy love and praise thy compassion. We bless thee for thy bonds and stripes, for thy crown of thorns and painful cross, for thy bitter agony and death. We bless thee that thou, who knewest no sin, wast made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in thee. May the contemplation of thy holy passion give us an abiding sense of our own unworthiness and of thy surpassing grace, that being distressed by our sin, we may be comforted by thy merit. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, do not forsake us in adversity and distress and in the hour of death, but have mercy upon us evermore, and grant us thy peace. As thou hast loved us, even so may we, withdrawing our affections from the world and the things that are in the world, love thee alone. As we have made thee to serve by our sin, do thou strengthen us by thy grace in every conflict and temptation, that henceforth we may strive to sin no more. As thou hast left us an example, may we ever follow thy footsteps. Grant that, looking unto thee, the author and finisher of our faith, we may run with patience the race that is set before us, and hereafter obtain the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, and praise and glorify thee for thine unspeakable love, forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The hymn is hymn 114.
I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save me at the death of Christ.
Dearly beloved, for as much as we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, it becometh us diligently to examine ourselves as St. Paul exhorteth us. For this holy sacrament hath been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we thus examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us but only sin and death, from which we can in no wise set ourselves free. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ hath had mercy upon us, and hath taken upon himself our nature, that so he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and for us and for our deliverance suffer death, and all that we by our sins have deserved, and to the end, that we should the more confidently believe this, and be strengthened by our faith in a cheerful obedience to his holy will. He hath instituted the holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feedeth us with his body and giveth us to drink of his blood. Therefore, whoso eateth of this bread and drinketh of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwelleth in Christ and Christ in him, and hath eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, and rendering unto him most hearty thanks for the same, take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another, even as he hath loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. At all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross did give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again. And that he by a tree once overcame, might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen. We stand. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks unto thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee of thy mercy, that thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.